The thing that really is wonderful is to be able to read them as the witnesses that they are to the saving gospel of Christ.
Pastor Will Wheaton on his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, making the case for a Lutheran approach to the Church Fathers.
To deburden them from infallibility. Nobody believes they're infallible. Everybody agrees that there are things in them that they don't agree with. But the reading of the Fathers itself can be a huge help and light. If people have walk the terrain you walked before and made a map, it might be worthwhile to consult it before you head out in the same terrain. And in that way, their work through the scriptures has been most beneficial to the church across time.
You can meet and hear Will Wheaton June 19th and 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You've heard it said, and it's often repeated as a mere platitude, God won't give you any more than you can bear. I think I've probably said it in unguarded moments as well, trying to fumble for something to say to someone who's having a bad day, or more than having a bad day, someone upon whom God has dumped a lot of suffering. And he does do that from time to time. He gives us suffering. The book of Job is replete with this, and Job, from the very beginning, realizes that not only good, but also, he says, not only woe but weal come from God, and who are we to turn up our nose at either? So, how do we rightly understand Christian endurance? Because he doesn't promise to take the suffering away or to lessen it. There's no specific promise there. He does promise to give us endurance, to produce in us that kind of endurance. Joining us to talk about Christian endurance on this Wednesday afternoon, Pastor Larry Peters. He's pastor at Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee, author of a recent blog post titled, God Won't Give You More Than You Can Bear. Larry, welcome back.
How you doing, Todd?
I'm doing well. Now, for you, this is not just a theoretical conversation or academic enterprise. This is personal for you. What has God given you lately, Larry?
Well, we've had a long year. You know, a little over the last 6 months, my wife lost her father, kind of expectedly, but not. I lost my dad very suddenly, within literally the span of weeks, going to work every day and then suddenly finding out that he was dying. We've lost five aunts and uncles over the past year, a couple of cousins, there's been some job issues, financial setbacks, car accidents, you name it, all around the pike. We feel, as many people do oftentimes, a little bit like the ball in a game that keeps getting kicked or hit. The one that ends up suffering without any real answer or reason along the way to make it reasonable.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about that kind of reasonableness that we long for. We want to reason for what God permits, or what I would just come out and say what God gives us by way of suffering, because even the suffering is a gift from God, as I'm sure you would agree. But why do we want that reason, and does he really ever give it to us here on this side of the resurrection?
Well, I think there are a couple reasons for that. One is there's a part of us that figures, yeah, I can get through this if I know where it's going, if I can predict how it's going to end, if there's something that will appeal to my mind. You know, we'll take up the pain of not eating our favorite foods if we have a reason for it out there. We'll take up the pain of saving money as long as we have a reason for the saving money. We go to God and we say, okay, God, you know, I'll handle this for this long, but I want to know, you know, what's the reason here? Maybe even in a crass way, we're even a little bit more blunt with him and say, I want to know what's in it for me. You know, what's going to be the outcome?
What's wrong with, and this is the kind of one of the facets of the platitude that I often hear when someone, a Christian, is suffering. What's wrong with simply saying, hey, don't worry, God is in control?
Well, I think one of the things is that first of all, It feeds into our victim culture. You know, God is in control. You know, it gives us the right to complain. We can escape personal responsibility. And the realization is some of the sufferings that happen in our lives are happening because we make foolish decisions or we make unwise choices. There's no way of avoiding that. It also feeds into the idea that, you know, that God is in control, that if I can manipulate my relationship with God, then I can affect the outcome. I can find a way without pain, without suffering, that I can figure out a way to get what I want out of God. God is in control, therefore, you know, my job is to figure out God's plan, to figure out what his purpose is. And it almost makes, it's sort of Gnostic, if you will, it makes this idea of God's plan some sort of hidden wisdom. And if I can just get my hand on that, then I'll be okay.
Is another problem with God is in control that's not necessarily good news. A God who controls all things, I mean, what kind of God doesn't control all things? That seems to be one of the prerequisites for being a God. That's not necessarily good news. That God might be arbitrarily moving me around like a chess piece on a board, or like you said before, he might be just kicking me around the field.
Well, I think one of the ways that people have responded to suffering, to pain, to struggles in life is to imagine that God is merely a larger version, you know, of ourselves, sort of the Greco-Roman mythology of defining how God operates. And just that in and of itself offers us little comfort or consolation. In fact, you know, oftentimes it can seem that God is not only manipulative but sort of sadistic. You know, is he out there just to see what I'm going to do under the gun? Is he watching to see what's going to happen to me when he throws a little heat onto the fire? This understanding of God flies square in the face of the cross, and that's the real damage there, because when we try and approach God in this way, we're driven completely away from the God who embraces our suffering on our behalf and who, in the midst of this suffering, offers us the only answer that makes any difference whatsoever, and that is Jesus Christ.
It doesn't make sense, but it does make a difference.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, but it does make a difference. We look at the God who embraces our suffering for us, and the God who stands with us in our suffering and who sees us, knows us in our weakness, and has promised what? That his strength will be made perfect there. We don't have to see the outcome. We don't have to know that, you know, somehow or another there's going to be a balance to all of this, and though God takes this away now, he's going to fill our cup later on. You better believe it. You know, we're going to end up with just as much, if not more. We don't need to measure to kind of turn this into a statistic. When we look at the cross, we see the God whose suffering has borne the fruit of our salvation. And this is what calls us to endure in the face of suffering. This is what calls us to know that in the midst of our pain, God's comfort has not abandoned us.
Let's talk about that term endurance a little bit, because rather than what Scripture paints of it, our picture of endurance is often not endurance, but victory. And,
oh, yeah.
And
we,
you know,
win.
I'm going to overcome this. I'm going to come out stronger. You know, someone says, well, sure, you have cancer, but God will make you stronger through it. Well, he might kill you, or he might let you survive this cancer and leave you with a permanent effects from it. You may not come out stronger.
You know, I put on the blog a couple of those expressions that I really despise. God saves his toughest battles for his toughest soldiers, you know, like somehow or another, that's going to make me feel better. I think the key here is that we are always looking at outcomes, and when I say outcomes, I don't mean heavenly outcomes. We're looking at the here and now. I want to see that there's some sign things are going to get better, that I am going to overcome, that this stuff that is wounding me now will somehow or another be put into the past, and I will, you know, that's the Joel Osteen idea. I want my best life now. That's my victory. I want my best life today. And God's job is to get me there. The only problem with that is that the promise that we call success is in Scripture endurance. It's running the long distance race. It's in there for the long haul. It's Paul in Romans. We rejoice in our sufferings. What an odd statement for him to make. We rejoice in our sufferings knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. Hope does not disappoint us. Even our Lord Jesus in Luke's gospel says what? He says all of these bad things are going to happen to you, nation against nation, earthquake, famine, pestilence, you name it, terrors and great signs from heaven. He says, in the midst of it all, this is your opportunity to bear witness. And the witness that we bear is the witness of the cross. He says, settle it, therefore, in your minds. This is who you are. You will be delivered up before people before whom you will have to give account of your faith, and some of you will be put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. Talk about inspirational, motivational speakers here. And then what does he say? But not a hair of your head will perish. You belong to me. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. And sometimes, I say this so often to people sitting in the hospital room, I say it to people in their homes in times of terrible trouble and catastrophe, a parent looking at the illness of a child, a spouse watching, you know, someone you love not only struggle with illness, but literally die hour by hour in front of you, that endurance is its own victory. Endurance is its own victory. And once we begin to wrap our head around that, then we begin to find the comfort, the peace that passes understanding, that doesn't depart, you know, when struggle and sorrow and defeat seem all around you.
Pastor Larry Peters is our guest. We're talking about Christian endurance on this Wednesday afternoon, June the 10th, when we come back. Another 10 minutes with him. If you have questions or comments, I invite you to give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, or send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or tweet at issuesetc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
The cross is our theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
There is confusion about marriage in the world, but not with Jesus and his scriptures. Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy, will be having a conference on Tuesday, June 30th at St. Paul Lutheran Church, Hamel, Illinois, on marriages and weddings. Come and hear the theology of marriage and the theology of the wedding, and be strengthened in confessing. Helpful sectionals for pastors and laity in the finest of the church's worship. For more information, go to gottesdienstonline.blogspot.com.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about Christian endurance with Pastor Larry Peters. He is pastor at Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee, author of a recent blog post titled, God Won't Give You More Than You Can Bear. Pastor Peters, by the way, thank you and Grace Lutheran there in Clarksville for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc., becoming a congregational sponsor.
Well, we appreciate it. We value not only your witness, but also the meaty topics that you dig into for the benefit of people all over the world.
Folks, your congregation can also join the Issues Etc. 300. It's our congregational support program. By including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget to the tune of $1,000 per year, there's a one-page flyer at our website that will help explain everything about being part of the Issues Etc. 300 and how to join. It's at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. Just download it, print it off, take it to your congregation, and ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300 as well. Pastor Peters, before the break, you were talking about rejoicing in suffering. You've had Paul saying, we therefore now rejoice in suffering. But that doesn't mean that we welcome it necessarily, or like someone would say, well, now that I've listened to what you had to say, Pastor Peters, now I'm happy to suffer. It's never pleasant at the time. Isn't that something the other apostle tells us?
Oh, yeah, it's suffering. We rejoice in suffering not because, hey, it feels good. It feels terrible. It feels awful. I mean, I think of Paul in 2 Corinthians when he says, we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. You know, there's no joy in the suffering itself, just like there's no special grace or blessing in being poor or wounded or anything to that measure. What Paul is saying is when he goes on to say is that what? The joy comes from knowing God's presence in our suffering, and then the realization that we rely not on ourselves, but on the God who raises the dead. And the truth is, as Christians, we are that many times in our life. We just are dead. We are empty. I think it's also true, on the other hand, that the character of Christian life is that we share one another's sufferings. We bear one another's sufferings as Christ bore our sufferings. That's what it means to live in fellowship with other Christian people. That's the depth of love. Every parent knows that when your child is wounded and there's nothing you can do about it, but literally share their sufferings with them. That's what God does for us, and that in and of itself is comfort in our wounds.
There's something to mysterious almost for words here, but yet Scripture delivers it to it nonetheless, that Christian suffering is part and parcel of being united to Christ himself. That union with Christ that we are given in baptism embarks us upon a life that will be marked, as was Christ's, with suffering. That in fact, Paul will even say, it's his suffering in our lives. Talk about that, if you would, Pastor Peters.
But it's really a modern-day idea that somehow or another we live our lives without expectation of suffering. I mean, we have pills that take our pain away. We have all of these diversions for our boredom, for our whatever our desires are. We have something to deal with it. And until relatively recently, people expected suffering to be a part of everyday life. I think, you know, one of the great dangers of our culture today is that we have this strange and unrealistic idea, expectation, if you will, of what the shape of our life is. I wrestle with it. I'm sure that every Christian wrestles with it. You know, we want to live that pain-free, test-free, temptation-free life, but that's not the life we live as Christians. Secondly, is the privilege of this suffering that we endure for the sake of the gospel, that we endure in Christ and being made strong by his death and rising again, is indeed a great mystery, but it is an important one. These are certainly not the redemptive sufferings that win us anything, but these are the sufferings by which we stand with Christ and in Christ in the face of a world which we have to admit is, in many cases, and many times, unfriendly to Christ and unfriendly to those who bear his name by baptism.
And sometimes that suffering, although not always, sometimes the suffering is brought on by ourselves. Sometimes it is the circumstances of life for which we simply trust the hidden will of God. Sometimes that suffering does come from the world, and yet nonetheless from God as well. Talk about that.
Well, you know, the hard thing to admit is that the Lord chastens, the Lord disciplines those whom he loves. Sometimes the pain that we experience is the helpful pain of those who are rescued in suffering, you know, who are rescued by God's work there to recall us from our wrongful ways. Sometimes those sufferings are the devil and wrestling, attempting to wrestle away from us the hope in which we stand. Sometimes those sufferings are our own foolish and sinful choices, and we don't distinguish really in our minds much difference between those sufferings. Those are kind of the fine distinctions of theologians, which are often lost on us because what we feel is the hurt, and what we have to understand is that underneath it all, you know, when Paul says God makes everything work together for good for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. You know, that's not God saying, hey, don't worry, I got a plan. You know, just hang in there with me long enough and you'll see the wisdom of it too. That's God promising that these sufferings cannot steal us from the life that he has given to us through his son, Jesus Christ. And that's our hope. You know, Jesus in John 17, when he's standing, you know, in the garden, and his prayers for those who follow him, for those who will know him through their witness, he prays for our endurance. And I think that has to be something we take note of, that he understands what is at work against us. He understands that that some of these things will be our own choice. Some will be the consequence of living as Christians in the world, and some of them will be because we have a target marked on us, because we belong to Christ, and the devil is out to undo all the good that God has done through his Son. But Jesus says, endure. He doesn't ever pray for us to succeed. He prays for us to endure, and that ought to tell us something.
Pastor Larry Peters is pastor at Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee. He's authored a recent blog post titled, God Won't Give You More Than You Can Bear. We'll link to it at our website tonight, issuesetc.org, and I highly recommend that you read it and that you share it with your friends. It's a great blog post, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Larry, thank you very much for being our guest.
You're welcome, Todd. You have a great day.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Christ in Ezekiel chapter 17 and Barnabas the Apostle with Dr. Mike Middendorf. Now, he said something there very important that we need to remember, because the call to endurance is not a call to dig deep and to muster up your strength, your last bit of will and strength, to jump one more time into the breach and try your hardest. That's not what Christian endurance is. Christian endurance is not digging deep into your own resources again. It's not going to the bottom of your pockets and pulling out whatever is left and saying, all right, this better be enough. No. That's human endurance, right? That'll win you a marathon, or at least it'll help you finish a marathon or get you through a tough project or a tough day. Christian endurance is entirely different. It is not a reliance on oneself, one's resources, power, strength, will at all, but it's a reliance entirely someplace else. That is on Christ's resources, his strength, his will. It is an abandonment of hope that you have what it takes to get through this. You don't. I can guarantee you, you don't have what it takes to get through it. When it says God won't give you more than you can bear, the emphasis there is not on what you can bear, because what you can bear is measly, but in fact, on what God gives. And with the suffering, he gives the endurance, not the strength that you possess, but the trust in Jesus Christ alone. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues, Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.